Good Vach, this is Yisachar Wertel. We are almost up to Pesach, but first we have this week's Parsha. That's right, we have Parsha Metzora. It's not a double Parsha this week. It's Tazria last week, Metzora this week. Take a week off from reading the Parsha because we're going to be spending a lot of time on Pesach. We're going to be dealing with both Metzora and Pesach today. Hope you like the background. I found it online. I believe the artist's name is Naomi Isan. But I just thought it was kind of cool, like the idea of matzah butterflies. It's interesting because matzah is both light and heavy at the same time. Anyway, we're going to get started. Obviously, there's a million things we could talk about, but of course, we want to try and tie Pesach things into Metzora, which there's actually more than meets the eye, and a lot of it actually has to do with blood, which isn't necessarily the first thing you want to think about, but there's actually a very strong symbolism and correlation. There's actually numerous parallels between Metzora and Yetziat Mitzrayim. So again, a Metzora is somebody who has Tzara'at, which is a spiritual leprosy-like disease. Yetziat Mitzrayim, of course, is the leaving of Egypt, which we're commemorating at the beginning of Pesach. Now, the commentaries speak at length between the connection between Yetziat Mitzrayim and many of the parshiot that potentially fall out during Pesach, and Parshat Metzora, of course, is one of them. Rav Ilan Halberstadt speaks of the amazing importance of speech and how it connects to the two ideas, which is not an obvious conclusion. But and again, we're not going to get into how exactly that is. I even saw several Divrei Torah on Torah Anytime this year, maybe last year. I think it was this year, about the connection with speech. Again, a much more lengthy topic. We're not going to get into that right now, but it is interesting. But one of the most prominent ideas, and what I will be talking about today, is the concept of blood, and even more specifically, the azo, the hyssop that was dipped in blood. On the night before leaving Mitzrayim, the Jews were commanded to put the blood of the Korban Pesach on their doorposts as a siman, as a sign to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to save them and take them out and not kill them, the rest of the firstborn. And as a schus for putting the blood on their doorpost, then Hashem saved them. They had to apply this blood to their doorpost with, guess what, a hyssop bundle, an ezov. So similarly, the Metzora, as part of its purification process, had to have this hyssop bundle dipped into blood. Granted, it was bird blood, but it had to be dipped into blood and then sprinkled on. So there's clearly a symbolism. Now, Rav Tzadok, as conveyed by Rav Moshe Tuvia Leif, explains that the ezov, the hyssop bundle, is actually a bundle of three. Now, obviously, three can represent many, many different things, but in this particular instance, the three hyssop, so to speak, combat the three klipot, which is a Kabbalistic term for negative traits or negative barriers, which he states in this case are jealousy, desire, and honor. Very interesting. The Jewish people have to have faith in Hashem, and no greater time than leaving Yetziat Mitzrayim. The death of the firstborn was rampant upon the land, and they wanted to be saved, and therefore they had to put their trust in Moshe, to put their trust in Hashem, and they had to put blood on the doorposts. All who did were saved and merited to be taken out of Mitzrayim to become part of the Jewish nation. Hashem is telling these people, though, in order to be a true Jew, a member of the Jewish nation, that one should shy away from these three things that the bundle represents, and they should instill it in themselves, symbolic of the blood. So stay away from harboring jealousy, from indulging in desires, and from seeking honor. The hyssop plant, which is actually a very small plant, the sages, Chazal, explain represents humility. Now, in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were didn't really need much of a lesson in humility. They were humiliated. They were defaced. They were deprived, or beaten, not just killed, but I mean, they were demoralized. So they didn't need a lesson in humility, but things were about to change. They were about to be taken out in grandeur with abundant wealth and heralded as the mightiest people in the world. Things were going to change on a dime. And just as we know, sometimes people who are incredibly poor, impoverished, and have a terrible life, they win millions and millions of dollars, it can get to their head. Hashem, therefore, is telling the future generation or any generation of Jews, which is very wealthy or has power or anything like that, this message is for them. Because we say it is an eternal message. We have to have remember Yetziat Mitzrayim every single day. There's a mitzvah to remember and mention Yetziat Mitzrayim every single day. And we have to remember a lot of the lessons of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and one of which is this lesson of humility. Of course, we take that into account with the fact that we went ultimately to Har Sinai. There's a lot of lessons of humility around. But Hashem wanted to remind us. However, even though they were going to need a lesson in humility, right now they didn't. Right now they needed the opposite. They needed self-esteem. Who are we to be taken out, right? We're just like these lowly slaves. They didn't understand. It's been generations and generations and generations that they've been slaves and beaten and mistreated. So they actually used the symbolism in a profound manner. They took this lowly hyssop and they raised it upwards to not only paint the doorpost, but also the lintel above. And they were using it for a higher purpose, showing how Hashem can make anyone lowly, raised up, and special. Now, this is also interesting by Mitzora. In this case, it's almost the opposite. The individual, potentially, I mean, obviously, there's many things you can get tzaraas for, but most commonly, slander, evil speech, similar things like that. He raised himself up high inappropriately, whether it was for honor or whether it was to put someone else down or whatever it might be, but he caused another person to be lowered. Not that he was lowered, but he raised himself up by putting somebody else down. And therefore, Rashi and many other commentaries speak of the fact of this lowly hyssop being used in the Mitzvah to teach the complete opposite list. It's being this lowly hyssop is more powerful than you. It is doing the sprinkling on the blood. We're taking something from the bird, and obviously that's a whole nother lesson with the lessons of the birds and again kind of the gossiping and freedom and all kinds of things like that. But we're taking this hyssop, and this sprinkling is what controls whether he's going to be tamei or not. I mean, tahor or not. Obviously, after the Kohen declares that he can become tahor. Now, what's interesting is that the item used to stir the blood prior to the sprinkling was actually a cedar rod. A cedar, which is often a tall, lofty tree, and usually symbolic of strength and might, is now broken as a branch and is used to aid the lower hyssop. Because when people have power, people have money, or people are in a position, they're meant to help, not demean or anything like that. They're meant to help those who are lower. The Metzora, through his haughty actions, maligned others, but now he himself has become lowly and embarrassed. And perhaps the lesson of the three hyssops is symbolically relevant here as well. What are the primary reasons one would speak negatively about somebody? You could be jealous. We mentioned these three things again. You could be jealous of that person. That's why you spoke against them. And you seek to lower him and take away what he has. Or more simply, one may be biased against an individual because of jealousy and leads to a false perception. It might not even be intentionally slandering, but it may manifest evil speech. People will do almost anything for a desire. That's the second thing. And if it's strong enough, and many people ultimately don't think of the consequences of speaking ill of people, if it's an obstacle of them getting their way, they really, really want something. If they have to say something, whatever, okay, it's just words, you know? Obviously, it's not true, but they think that, right? And so, like, whatever, you know, I want what I want. I need what I need. I have a desire, and I'm going to say what I need to say. They feel it as a justified need. And then the third one, of course, is honor. And that's perhaps the most obvious one. If one thinks of himself as superior, then he will inadvertently think less of other people, thereby being less concerned with their honor and welfare and be less wary of insulting them or harming them through the words, whether intentionally or just haphazardly. Now, these lessons are timeless, and it's important to realize that as we approach the Chag of Pesach, we still have the same three issues that Hashem has been warning us about for thousands of years, and many of us have still not learned our lesson. But it's something that we need to be vigilant. Therefore, when we go through this week's Parsha, we're preparing for Pesach. It's coming up in just a few days. This Monday night. Let us be extra vigilant to remember these three things and the lesson of humility in general. But do not be jealous of others. So say somebody has a really nice kitchen, you have to be in your small kitchen for Pesach, or people can go away for Pesach and you can't. Don't be jealous. You're in your place for a reason, and that's where you're meant to be. Do not succumb to desire. Focus on spiritual things, focus on a desire for good things and holy things. And obviously, do your best to curb things which are not as appropriate and try to remain humble. And of course, most importantly, perhaps most importantly, refrain from negative speech of all kinds. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and a Chag Kasher L'Sameach.